What you watch depends on what kind of mood you're in. Sometimes you're craving comedies like Friends or South Park, and sometimes you're more into dramas like HBO's Succession and House of the Dragon. There's also cooking shows like Chopped and Beat Bobby Flay, and even movies like The Lord of the Rings and Shazam! Fury of the Gods. Well, Max is the streaming destination that has the best of entertainment for whatever mood you're in anytime. And plans start at as little as $9.99 a month. Max, the one to watch. Subscription required. Visit max.com.
Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Does anybody feel this spicy on a Monday morning? I mean, I hope it helps, but how many people actually wake up on a Monday morning feeling like that? Good morning to you. Oh, it's Monday, all right. And there's no long holiday weekend. Well, not for many people. I know people who were on vacation last week, the whole week. And so this Monday, I don't feel sorry for them at all trying to get back into the groove, but some of you had a shorter work week, and so this one feels a bit like a doozy. It feels more like a doozy if you're a Denver Nuggets fan, I'll tell you that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning again. We're glad to have you with us. We have gone all over the darn place in the last 3 hours, but we'll circle back to the NBA now. But if you missed it, we would love for you to check out especially the last hour of the podcast, or hour three of the podcast, because we talked about Liam Hendricks earning his first win on National Cancer Survivors Day, no less. Also sharing with you about a friend of mine and a colleague of mine who's going through his own battle against cancer. Some of you may know him. And then in addition, DeMar Hamlin, and what an inspiration he continues to be using his near-death experience and the faith that people put in him to now pay it forward, if you will, and to do so in a way that he's equipping and providing training for other football teams, for other youth sports, so that if this happens to one of them or if there's a similar emergency, medical crews are trained, athletic training staffs are prepared, they're ready to go. I love that. Certainly he had to do something with the money, but this is now a cause about which he is passionate, similar to his Toys for Kids drive at Christmas time. He's got the money, he's got the resources, he's got the backing to be able to hire people and partner with organizations and do it right. So I think it's incredible. Love for you to go back and check out hour three of our podcast. After Hours, AmyLawrence.com, or if you like, you can just find the link every weekday morning. Our podcast is posted on both our Twitter, After Hours CBS, as well as on our show Facebook page. Got a lot to get to this hour, including hoops, but if you miss the breakdown and the insight with our friend Matt Moore, who has the Locked On Nuggets podcast and was at Game 2 because he is based in Denver for the Action Network. He actually was a member of the CBS sports staff going back to when we first started. And so he's taken a different direction with his job and his insight. But he still agrees to come on the show with us, which is cool. So we love it. And he's in Denver. It was easy peasy. Joined us live in our second hour. So you can also catch that on the podcast. Another fourth quarter rally from Miami. It's like clockwork. This is the Heat MO. I'm not telling you they always win, because clearly that's not the case. If it was the case, they wouldn't be the 8 seed in the NBA's Eastern Conference. If it was the case, they wouldn't have needed a game 7 against the Boston Celtics. Now, they're a flawed team, but they know who they are, and they stick to the script. There's no going off script for the Miami Heat. Wait until you hear from Jimmy Butler about why they continue to do it. Now, I've got a few principles about the Heat that are important to remember. They never do it the easy way. The Heat always do it the hard way. Don't ask me why, they just do. Because they're a flawed team. Number two, they are a team that performs better under pressure. when they've got no other choice, that's when they kick it into high gear. That's when they seem to come together and their chemistry gives them an advantage. And wait until you hear why from Jimmy Butler. It's fantastic. I've not heard this before, but I think it encapsulates the Heat perfectly, especially after what we saw in game two in Denver. Now, it's not just about the Heat, okay? The Denver Nuggets had not lost in these playoffs when they had built a double-figure lead. In fact, they'd not lost in the entire season. Only one time had they lost when leading by 8 points going into the fourth, right? So they were up 15, had not lost in these playoffs when leading by at least 10, and were near perfect throughout the regular season when they had at least an 8-point edge heading into the final quarter. But these are the Miami Heat, and they don't care about your trends, about your momentum. They don't care about your stats, about your history. They don't care about your odds, that you're a favorite. They couldn't care less. And actually, it adds to the tension. It adds to, I think, their edginess when they're on the road. A franchise record for road wins in a single postseason now. They just keep racking up these firsts. Will they become the first 8 seed ever to win an NBA title? I don't know. But to put it past the Miami Heat, you do it at your own peril. You do it at your own risk of looking like a complete and utter fool when you doubt the Miami Heat. The Nuggets, on the other hand, and again, I'm not telling you they aren't going to win the title. I don't know. Game three will be so pivotal. It's a great indicator usually in a tie series, game three. Game three and game five for obvious reasons. The Nuggets, they don't have the same killer instinct. Are they damn good? Yeah. Is Nikola Jokic a point guard trapped in a 7-footer's body? Well, I don't know about that, but he certainly does handle the ball really well. They've got incredible talent. But they're not the kind of team that wants to cut out your heart and then pull it up through your throat. That's not the Nuggets. Ew, that's gross. Sorry, that's ew. We give you all this like peppy music to start, and then there's no one else here to blame. Then I talk about pulling your icky heart up through your, blah, blah, blah. Sorry. But that's not the Nuggets is my point. They don't want to cut out your heart with a spoon. See, now that comes from Robin Hood, so at least I feel like I got that one, honestly. They're just happy to win. And they do want to win, but they don't slam the door. How many times have we seen their opponents, Lakers even in a sweep, come back, make it interesting, because why not? Once again, there they were, letting the Heat hang around. And the problem, though, is that the Lakers and the Heat, not the same. The Heat, they not only use their defense to keep them in a lot of games, right? But when they spread out the offense and they're hitting their shots, okay? So their runs usually start with a couple of made threes. Why? Because that opens up their offense. They spread it out, which means what? Not only does the defense have to chase them all over the damn court, try to follow the ball as much as possible, or at least be efficient at switching, which the Nuggets were not last night, but they also leave the hoop a lot of times unguarded. And so you got a player that runs in there, his defense is chasing him, is trailing him, and he's got a wide open lane to the hoop. The Nuggets did something similar by pulling Nikola Jokic out to the top of the key in game one. All right, I'm getting kind of technical, but the point is, it takes a couple of Heat to hit shots, and they've got shooters. Gabe Vincent, Duncan Robinson. We know Kyle Lowry can hit a few. Jimmy Butler doesn't take a lot of threes, but he will jack a few up there every now and then. Max Strus, the guys who had tired legs in the opener who couldn't hit the broads out of a barn, well, that wasn't the case last night. And so once they hit a couple of shots, then everything opens up. And that confidence, it's contagious. And that's exactly what happened. Now, they'd been fighting, scratching, clawing, because, again, that's what they do. The Nuggets didn't slam the door because that's what they do. And despite Nikola Jokic having nearly 20 points in the third quarter alone, the Heat, or pesky, hit a couple shots, and everything feels different.
Gabe, three ball, left side. Oh, he did it again. He ripped it again. For the fourth time in five tries in game two, the Heat's leading scorer, Gabe Vincent, did it again. Here's Bam, hand off to Duncan, top of the arc, Green in front. He fires. He makes it right in Green's eyes. Timeout, Denver.
This is what you needed off the bench. It's real quiet in here right now. Duncan Robinson is getting all his points here in the fourth quarter, and we will take each and every one.
Two for two from downtown as Duncan and the Heat have clawed back. It's a two-point game.
Bam Adebayo has had back-to-back really strong games. And what happens is the inside is opened up when they start to hit shots. Duncan Robinson and Gabe Vincent, 12 consecutive points. Just them. I don't mean just for the Heat. I mean, they were the only one scoring. Did you happen to see it? And if you didn't, you're just waking up this morning, I can understand why. The start of the fourth quarter, the Heat, it's an onslaught. They score 12 consecutive points with just these two guys. Duncan Robinson, he's done this before, right? He can heat up. He did it against the Celtics, I remember, multiple times. Gabe Vincent, he was the leading scorer again last night for the Heat. When he gets hot, you want to talk about tenacity. He matches Jimmy Butler in that regard. But before the Nuggets had made even one shot in the fourth quarter, the Heat were already 6-for-6. That's how quickly it happened. In 3 minutes, they erased an 8-point lead and went up and took the lead and never gave it back. Jason Jackson, Ruth Riley on Miami Heat Radio. So, yeah, Vincent goes 8 of 12 from the floor. He hits four triples, and their leading scorer had 23. The Nuggets' leading scorer had 41, but there just wasn't enough balance. And timing. Timing is everything. Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, 21 points each, although it's driving me a little bit crazy, so I may have to stop listening. But Jason Kosmicki, who's Denver Nuggets play-by-play, calls him Adebayo. Like down on the bayou. And I don't know if it's supposed to be a joke because his partner says out of bio, but he says out of bayou. It's not funny. It's kind of goofy, actually. Anyway, so it's not out of bayou. It's out of bio who's athletic and who's taking quality shots, high percentage shots. Also throws in 9 rebounds, 4 assists. And then the closer, when Jimmy Butler gets back on the court.
This is a really good, you know, offensive team. They force you to have to compete at a super high level, but you have to do it with a brain and you have to do it with discipline. And our guys, you know, regardless of how the head coach feels like during the fourth quarter, our guys love to compete. They love to put themselves out there in those moments of truth.
Jason Jackson again on Heat Radio. So Butler is guarding Jamal Murray on what was this kind of last-ditch attempt. And they had 12 seconds. It's not as though they were rushed, but Jamal really wasn't set. So good defense by Jimmy. And the ball did rim out and a little close for comfort there. In fact, Jamal made it close because he hit a couple of triples late but couldn't get that one to go.
I don't know. I mean, they just played hard and like I said, it was more discipline. It's defeating when you're giving up mistake after mistake. And it's not, you know, them beating you. You're giving them open dunks or giving them open shots. So that's tough to come back from. And, you know, we've got to stay together and, you know, look ahead.
Definitely a moment of truth. The Miami Heat are built for moments of truth. And, yeah, the Nuggets offense has a variety of ways they can hurt you. They had some uncharacteristic turnovers. And other than Jokic, we didn't see the same contributions. We had a couple guys that were in double figures, but we didn't see the same contributions that started them out in the first half of game number one. Jamal Murray heated up late, but wasn't the same that he was or that he's been in these playoffs. He had 18 points. I think 3 of his triples came in the fourth quarter. Michael Porter Jr. had a disastrous game. on both ends of the court. Getting run around on defense. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, also almost a non-factor, though he was out there 36 minutes. None of the Nugget starters had a plus number. It was minus for all of them. Really, the bench, strangely enough, the Nuggets bench kept them ahead in the first half. But the starters, nah. They actually got outplayed by the Heat, outworked by the Heat. Why is that? Well, Mike Malone has an answer. Wait until you hear it. And so the Heat even up the series. Shucker. And at this point, it's like an old comfy pair of slippers. Your favorite sweatpants or jeans. This is what they do. It's who they are. They are so comfortable in their own skin. But why Jimmy Butler? This has got to be my favorite Jimmy Butler quote in, days. Why Jimmy Butler?
I just think nobody cares on our team. We're not worried about what anybody thinks. We're so focused in on what we do well and who we are as a group that at the end of the day, that's what we fall back on. Make or miss shots, we're going to be who we are because we're not worried about anybody else. It's how it's been all year long, and that's not going to change. So that's what I think it is. I think it's the I don't give a damn factor.
Jimmy Butler calls it the I don't give a damn factor. That's what he says is the key to Miami's resiliency and the ability to rally when they're down, the ability to bounce back. And boy, have they used every last ounce of that I don't give a damn factor. They have played it to perfection. So coming up, Mike Malone once again taking his team to task publicly. He does not care, as in does not care if they get their feelings hurt. And honestly, if you're getting your feelings hurt at this point, something's wrong with you. Remember, it wasn't late in the season, but it was toward the end of the season when he just flat out called him soft. Well, that might apply to game number two, but he's got a different way to call them out. So that's straight ahead. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, I don't give a damn factor. On our Facebook page, too, we're glad to talk to you. It's a Monday morning, up and at 'em, after hours on CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile's network can help keep you connected to all your favorite podcasts when you're out and about. Whether you're an early bird looking to dive into a daily news podcast or a night owl who wants to catch up on the latest reality TV drama, T-Mobile will keep you connected on their strong and reliable network. T-Mobile covers more highway miles with 5G than anyone. So if you need great coverage, especially when you're on the go, check out T-Mobile. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/CY. That's SEEWHY.
Your points are worth more than you think. This first-class flight to Tokyo, you can book it in your credit card portal for 1.4 million points. Yowzers. With PointMe, you could redeem just 120,000 points for that same flight. Now that's more like it. PointMe gets you 6 to 12 times the value for your points. Your credit card points are worth more than you think. PointMe. Better flights, fewer points.
Get started today at point.me. That's point.me.
Hey, can you hear me?
Okay, good. Well, so can your potential customers. Right here on your Odyssey station. You might be used to skipping social ads, but you are still listening to me right now. And so are your clients. To learn how to drive more business and how Odyssey can help get your message to your customers, visit stateofaudio.com. That's stateofaudio.com.
Jason Kosmicki on Denver Nuggets Radio. Interesting stat about the Denver Nuggets when they have a huge scoring game from Nikola Jokic. They actually don't win those games. Weirdly enough. Well, it's not that weird. When Jokic is doing the bulk of the scoring, it's not a great recipe for success. It's actually better if he's distributing the ball. He's a great passer as a big man. We know he loves to facilitate. And in the third quarter, they were able to post a 15-point lead. They were able to seemingly develop a cushion because of what Jokic had done. He had nearly 20 in the third quarter alone. But again, it doesn't matter what kind of deficit the Heat are facing. If they're within striking distance, man, they're a danger. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. So Jokic has 41. Murray heats up late just to keep it interesting as you hear that final call. But for the most part, it wasn't about the shots. It was about something more intangible that Mike Malone was really irked over postgame.
Now let's talk about effort. I mean, this is the NBA Finals, and we're talking about effort. That's a huge concern of mine. You know, and you guys probably thought I was just making up some storyline after game one when I said we didn't play well. We didn't play well. And tonight, you know, that the starting lineup to start the game is 10-2 Miami. Start the third quarter, they scored 11 points in 2 minutes and 10 seconds. And we just got, you know, we had guys out there that were just, whether feeling sorry for themselves or not making shots, or thinking they can just turn it on or off. This is not the preseason. This is not the regular season. It's not round. This is the NBA Finals. And that to me is really, really perplexing, disappointing. And I asked the team, I asked our player, you guys tell me why we lost. And they knew the answer. Miami came in here and outworked us. And we were by far our least disciplined game of these 16 or 17 playoff games, whatever it is now. So many breakdowns. And they exploited every one of those breakdowns and scored. So if we're going to try to go down there and regain control of this series and get home court advantage back, we're going to have to outwork Miami, which we didn't do tonight, and our discipline is going to have to be off the charts.
He never holds back. And he did say, not only after game one, but also in advance of game two, that he didn't feel like they had played well and that he was needing them to step it up. Now, effort, I agree. Why should that ever be a problem? That's why I was asking the same question about the Celtics going back to the Eastern Conference Finals. Why would effort ever be an issue when you're talking about the Final Four in the Conference Finals or now in the NBA Finals? That's just ridiculous. And yet, it wasn't just Mike Malone saying it. I mean, you had their star point guard echoing the same thing. Yeah, communication is about desire. Communication is about opening your darn mouth. It's not that challenging, but communication is a key to defense. If you're not talking, you can get smoked on D. And how many times were they out of position when they tried to switch and guard the pick and roll? How many times were they out of position just because the ball's flying around and they're chasing as opposed to working together as a defense? And also, Jokic makes the point that early on, it was open looks and huge shots for Max Strus, who I think was 0 for 10 in the first game. And then late, it was Gabe Vincent, it was Duncan Robinson. And when Duncan wasn't canning a three, he was driving to the hoop for a dunk because the backside was open. The Nuggets weren't watching their six. They weren't doing anything, really. A defense in the fourth quarter, they were all turned around. They were twisted into knots in the fourth quarter. They did not look like a team that won the West, swept the Lakers, and then, of course, was trying to stay undefeated at home in this playoff run. So they've lost their first game at home during the postseason, and Miami just continues to defy logic, I guess, number one. Number two, the I don't care factor, as Jimmy Butler, or I don't give a damn, I'm watering it down, the I don't give a damn factor, as Jimmy Butler puts it, because this is what they're used to. It's actually their comfort zone to be in this position. I don't know why. It's a blessing and a curse, right? It's a blessing because they are never out of the fight. But it's a curse because, honestly, sometimes they don't respond until it is a fight. It's the I don't give a damn factor that allows them to rally. And I appreciate that. But how about don't put yourself in that position? But see, the thing is, their offense has been so inconsistent all year. The defense keeps them in games a lot of times. But offensively, some days you're the windshield, some days you're the bug. Some days you're the fire, some days you're the ashes. I don't know. Not as good. Trying to use a heat analogy or a heat metaphor. Some days you're the fire, some days you're the log. Some days you're the fire, some days you're the charcoal. I'm not sure. Those were not nearly as good, but it's all right. You kind of get my point. It's very inconsistent. But another fourth quarter rally is like clockwork for the Heat. This is who they are. In fact, during the fourth quarter of the opener, I tweeted, as the Heat are rallying, because that's what they do. I think they had an 8 or 10 point run in the fourth quarter of the opener as well. I said, this is who they are. And people got on me, oh, too fast, they didn't win. But that's not my point. My point is, this is who they are. For better or for worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, for wins or losses, this is who they are. And they really don't change. I'm not sure they can change. This is just who they are. It's their identity. And they snatch victory from the jaws of defeat once again. And it gives them more confidence to do it the next time. Although the next time, they got their own home court advantage in South Beach. All right, so find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS. Right now, Duncan Robinson is trending on Twitter. 23.7 thousand tweets. That's what happens when you start the fire. Oh, see me with these. That wasn't even really on purpose.
We're post-Labor Day. Is it time to actually look at the baseball standings? I have. I just don't know if you have.
Fact is, the Angels are threatening to do their disappearing act, which is typically what happens to the boys of summer in Anaheim. And then Mike Trout gets hurt because that seems to follow the pattern. They are still above 500 with this victory against the Astros on Sunday. Shohei Ohtani, as you hear with, don't tell me, Terry Smith on Angels Radio. He breaks that tie in the eighth. And so they're able to rally and get the win. But they're fading a bit in the AL West. And that's due in large part to the fact that the Rangers are still on a tear. They're on a bender right now. Can that apply to baseball? They've won 3 in a row, 8 of their last 10. They're 38-20, so getting close to a full 20 games above 500. And even staying ahead of the World Series champion Astros, and then the Angels kind of fading back some. They've lost 7 of 10, and so it makes me nervous for a couple of reasons for the Angels. I talked about this last week. There's very little chance that Ohtani stays in Anaheim if they don't make the playoffs. But beyond that, because I do want to see him, I suppose there's a chance he could get traded before the deadline. I do want to see him on the playoff stage after what we got during the World Baseball Classic. It was electric, and he plays to the big stage. But do we really need to go another year without seeing Mike Trout in the postseason? It's not been since 2014 that the Angels have made the playoffs. And that's the only time we saw Trout. And it was in a 3-game sweep, not one in which they were victorious. And so right now, keeping our eyes on the AL West, I mean, the Rangers are overdue. I know last week we put the question out there in light of the fact that you've got three teams in hoops and hockey, three teams in the championship series that have never won a title in the Golden Knights, and their short history, the Florida Panthers, and of course the Denver Nuggets. Who's next? What franchise deserves, needs a championship? What fan base has suffered for long enough? And popular answers, of course, were the Detroit Lions. The Baltimore Orioles was another popular one. Definitely saw a bunch of Texas Rangers. So, yeah, for the Rangers to maybe, I mean, it's, like I said, it's early June, so it's kind of hard to be putting all the pieces together now, but for them to still be playing great baseball, maybe now, you've got all this work the Rangers have done, the money they've spent. I don't even know if Jacob DeGrom's pitching. He's still hurt. So maybe not that money. But yeah, to have the hitting, which has been so instrumental. Do you know they have the best run differential in baseball? And some of these numbers are astounding. So the Rays are the best team in baseball still. Front runners, setting the pace, up 4 in the AL East, where the entire division is above 500. So even as well as the Yankees have played, the Orioles are 15 games above 500, the Rays still have a 4-game cushion in that division. And yeah, every team, even the Red Sox, who are in the basement, are above 500. So they've got the best record by far in Major League Baseball. the NL scuffling a bit. In fact, the Dodgers are now tied with the Diamondbacks atop the NL West because they lost the season or the weekend series with the Yankees. But yeah, you've got some of the best teams in the American League, and the Rangers are smashing the ball. 152 is their run differential, which is 30 better than the Rays. It's astounding that the Rays are a 122 run differential. Nobody in the National League even comes close to that. Nobody even in triple digits. So what those two teams are doing right now, setting the pace, is impressive. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, starting anew on what is now June 5th. I don't know when it's socially acceptable to be looking at standings in Major League Baseball, but if you think about it, they're now roughly 60 games, getting close to 60 games, 58, 59, 60. I mean, not halfway, but they're over a third of the way through the season. So, right, you can just tell me when it's okay for me to talk about baseball standings. It's a long marathon, like an actual marathon, not a half marathon. I'll run a half marathon. I won't run a full marathon. Let's see what else is coming up this week. So not only baseball, the tennis in France is getting good. Coco Gauff has advanced, so that's great. Not going to be able to attend the NBA Finals more than likely, although we'll see how long the finals go on. Remember, she was the runner-up in Paris last year, and so she was able to rally from a set down. And she told us in her story about Jimmy Butler offering her finals tickets even before the Heat made the playoffs. So he DM'd her. I mean, she's a huge Heat fan. She was at a game. He DM'd her and offered her tickets to the play, the play-in game maybe. Or actually, it might have been a game at the end of the regular season. And she said, sorry, I'm going to be on the road. I've got tennis, duh. And then he said, well, what about the NBA Finals for your family? And so she told that story and then said she's taking inspiration from the way the Heat always rally. And yeah, here they are, lo and behold, doing it again. And she's into the fourth round, taking a page out of Jimmy Butler's book. So congratulations to Coco Gauff. Novak Djokovic, he's into the quarterfinals, chasing Grand Slam title number 23, which would be the most among the men. Tonight is the game, second game, yes. Sometimes I have a hard time keeping them straight after all these months of playoffs. It's game number 2 between the Knights and the Florida Panthers. So Golden Knights and Florida Panthers in Vegas. If you missed it, the Knights were able to put 3 goals in net in the third quarter. So they actually rallied too. And I actually discovered this just by research. I didn't know this before, although if you'd asked me about the Knights, I would have said, yes, they have a knack for this, but I don't think I would have known the number. They actually have done better at this than the Heat, which is saying something, because the Heat have 7 comebacks from double figures down in these playoffs alone. 7. What do they play, like 16 games? I'd have to go back and count the number. That's nearly half the time they're putting themselves, I mean, it's, like I said, it's a blessing and a curse. They're putting themselves in a hole, but then they're able to climb out. Well, the Golden Knights have even more than that. Get this. 9 comebacks in these playoffs. So while we're talking resiliency, while we're talking the ability to rally, it's a little different in hockey because of the nature of the game. We're not talking about 15-point deficits here. But yeah, they've done it 9 times, fallen behind in a playoff game this year and have come back. And so that game too is tonight. Something else too that I saw that actually piqued my interest, because I've always wanted to go to one of the Stadium Series hockey games that's outdoors. Never had a chance. I think the aerial views, especially of Lake Tahoe, all of that turned into a disaster. But the aerial views, as well as just the wide angle perspective of hockey in a stadium outdoors, is awesome. I love the optics of outdoor hockey, but I also really want to go. So speaking of kind of sports that cross over and go into different venues that are not their own just for an exhibition or for something super cool. Yankee Stadium, does it still host the Pinstripe Bowl?
Yeah, it's still a thing.
Okay, so back when it was first starting, a bowl game at Yankee Stadium, they called it the Pinstripe Bowl, there was this crazy snowstorm in New York, and I went, this is before I was here, so I know it goes back more than a decade now. I went to a game where they had snow piled up all around Yankee Stadium. It was pretty amazing, and yet they had a college football bowl game inside Yankee Stadium. So really neat how they had transformed it and kind of moved the snow to the sides and redesigned the layout. Well, that's what I love about these hockey games is that you've got this ginormous stadium and this ice rink that's set up in the stadium, and just the optics of it are so different that they catch your eye because it doesn't look normal, and yet it's beautiful. They do such a good job. So I've always wanted to go to one. I know there have been, we could name all the cities. There have been some amazing outdoor venues that they've created, but for the first time, MetLife will host.
How about that?
Yeah. And so, been to all kinds of crazy events at MetLife. Not Taylor Swift, though. That was last weekend. I don't know that outdoor stadium series hockey will rival the Taylor Swift. I've got some friends who went. Oh, my goodness. The photos and the stories they've told.
And $2,000 later per ticket.
Oh, gross. Yeah. So coming up in February of next year, MetLife, and actually there's something new that hockey's doing. They'll host a two-day event, and they're bringing together four rivals. And they're doing it on back-to-back days at MetLife Stadium. So the idea is, well, first of all, it's post-football. So the football teams don't need MetLife Stadium. It's the week after the Super Bowl. I guess there's a chance that the Giants or Jets could need the stadium for part of their championship rally. But, I digress. It's June. Anyway, the Devils will host the Flyers on Saturday, February 17th. And it's a night game. Oh, I'm in. I'm so in. I have done a ton of games at the Prudential Center, which is where the Devils play. It's just easy to get to. I see a lot of different teams that come through. So last year, for instance, seeing them play the Colorado Avalanche, which is a good chance to scout the future Stanley Cup champions. So I go to games in Jersey because it's 15 to 20 minutes from my house so that I can see other games, other teams. And this year, of course, the Devils are really good. So I have a good relationship with the Devils, and I already reached out to my friend who works with the Devils. Like, yo, I cannot wait. Put me on the list. He's like, it's the off season, you dork. I know, but put me on the list for the outdoor stadium series. Except for I wonder, will the media be up in the press box where they put football media? Because that would suck. If you're up there, and you're probably not looking straight on at the ice rink because they're going to have it in one end probably. I don't think I'd want to be up that high.
I feel like when you want to go see outdoor hockey, you want to be a fan, a spectator outside.
Well, I know, but I also would like to make sure that I get, well, I don't need to get in for free, but I would like to make sure that I get in because I imagine it's going to be very popular. Very popular. So that's going to be Devils hosting Flyers on Saturday, and then they're going to turn around and they're going to use the rink for the Islanders and the Rangers on Sunday of that same weekend. So it's kind of cool that they're doing this together, kind of four teams, and it's really the first time they've ever done this at the same venue. So they're going to try this on for size and see if they can work it out.
MetLife has it under control with the neutral sites, Jets, Giants,
Yep, true. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. The other ones are Edmonton, Commonwealth Stadium in Edmonton. The NHL Winter Classic is Vegas and the Seattle Kraken at T-Mobile Park. So that'll be pretty cool. Yeah, so they, I guess they were initially just going to do Rangers-Devils and then decide to expand it and include two other teams. So I'm all about that. I'll finally get to see a stadium series game, outdoor hockey. Sounds tremendous. All right, if you haven't found us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, also on our Facebook page, thinking of our friend John Kincaid today. It's a big day for him, and so sent him a message on Twitter to tell him how proud I am. I know many of you are big fans that are pulling for him and praying for him in his battle. We'll be back with you tonight. Of course, you don't want to miss it. Thank you, Kevin, for stepping in into a role that he hadn't filled in quite a while. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!